are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
How are we doing in 2020? All right, good. We're going to talk about that today, funnily enough. I feel like 2020 is one of those years, one of those numbers that you saw in a movie like 30 years ago that was the future that we didn't ever think would get there. Yet here we are in 2020. And look, like people still exist, like there's not robots sitting here in church. Like we're all right. We're still moving. And we still will be in many more years. But I don't know about you. I like to take the opportunity when the year flicks over for us to actually consider and reflect on 2019 and think about what is coming for us in 2020. And if you haven't done that yet, I would encourage you to do that. Book a date night in with your partner. Go out and have dinner and talk about 2019 and all that happened in 2019 and what your plans are and what is coming for 2020. And, grab a friend and go out for dessert or something like that. Take time. And as we do that, I know that we can sometimes think about the stuff that happened, you know, in 2019, the stuff that we went through. But my prayer and my hope, and I know as I do that and as I reflect, it's not about the stuff that happened, but it's about how God worked in and through my life in 2019. It's about God, what did you do in me? What revelation did you give me in 2019 of how great your love is for me? And I would encourage you to do exactly the same thing. And when I think about reflecting on a year prior, sometimes we can get stuck on whether the last year was a successful year or whether it was a not successful year, a disappointing year. And it really matters how you define what a successful year for you actually was. Did your business go well? Did your kids do well in school? Did you find a partner in 2019? Did you just win at what you were doing? And I think all those things are great. But the number one question we need to ask, did I take another step towards God and what He has for my life? Did I step in a greater way to what God has for me? And I think that really is the definition of whether we've had a great year or not. And I know there's going to be people, and you're going to probably put 2019 into one of three categories. Either it was a phenomenal year for you. You had all wins. Possibly it was a tough year. There were some tough things that happened, but there were also some great things, and you can look back on that. Or I know there's going to be some people here, and you think 2019, man, I'm glad that's over. And you don't raise your hand. But I know there's going to be some people that really are glad that 2020 has begun because we were possibly sick of 2019. And that could be because of a string of tough seasons that you felt, or even just one huge negative can kind of happen that removes the gloss off everything else that that happens there. But then coming into 2020, either you can feel like you're optimistic about this year, this is going to be really good. We're ready for a new year. There's a sense of excitement, or possibly there's a bit of hesitation coming into 2020. There's some stuff that we're going to have to deal with in 2020 that is going to be really hard, and we're maybe not looking forward to that. We know it's coming. We can see the storm. But whatever your camp you sit in, with regard to last year or this year, the beginning, let's decide today to commit to opening our eyes to the way that God sees 2020. Not the circumstances, although they can be hard or they can be great. But God, how are you going to work through this? And I know that if we do that, that we live with peace and we live with a confidence that we are still walking in what God has for us. Let's take a God perspective on that so that we don't miss what He's going to do. So as we speak about this new year today, I hope that we're able to leave here with the revelation that no matter what 2020 holds for each one of us as individuals, that God is always with you, He is always for you, and that those facts are something that you can hang your 2020 on. That God is with you and that God is for you. Normally, as a preacher, you'd leave your big wrap-up verse maybe to the end, that everyone can really leave with that in their mind. But I just want to give it to you first, because I think it's for someone this morning. And as I was preparing the message, this scripture and this song that goes along with this scripture just came in so strong into my mind that I know this is for someone, not only for today, but for this year. And it's out of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 19 to 24. You can turn there. I'm just going to read it. We'll go there on the screens as well. It says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, another version says, the poison that we've put into our lives. I remember them well, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." This is it. The next verse. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Say this with me, come on. "Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." That's it right there. That's it right there. Great is his faithfulness. As I was reading that, the song, I don't know if the song came first or the scripture came first, but that song is a really old hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." Does anyone remember that song? Put your hand up if you remember that song. It's a good spread. It's nearly 100 years old, 1923. You remember that song? The scripture definitely came first, then the song. But the way I remembered it, I don't know. 1923, this song was written. And I just thought, how about we take a moment right now and sing this song and sing this hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness." You might not know it, but I encourage you, let's just close our eyes. If you need the words, they'll be up there. And let's sing this song. "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. For great is, oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. For great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Father God, as we come this morning, we just take that on board and we just thank you so much for your faithfulness. That no matter what 2019 held for us and no matter what is to come in 2020, we know because of your great love that we are not consumed and your compassions never fail for us. They are new every morning. The great is your faithfulness. So Father, we just take right now and we just thank you for this year that is to come and whatever is coming, because we know that as we live in obedience and put you first, that you are going to be glorified. And we praise you for that. We thank you for this morning, Lord God. We open up our hearts and hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Thanks, Steph. Thanks, Sky. And everyone, I just want to take this opportunity to, if you've never met Steph, this is Steph Berry right here. Say hi, Steph. Yeah. Well done, Steph. And you can clap her again because Steph is coming on staff with us one day a week this year in church to look after our worship team and everything music. So let's congratulate Steph. Thank you, Steph. You're going to be awesome. The title for the message this morning is Fresh. Fresh. 2019 has been, and the hope is that we can learn from 2019, we can use it to glorify God as part of our story, and we can praise Him for the victory that we've seen. But 2020 is a fresh year, and potentially a fresh start for you even today. I think we'd all agree that we're up for a fresh 2020. Like, let's bring on a fresh 2020. Pastor Chris shared a challenging word with us last week about taking a stock take of our lives, all the different things that we're doing and things that we're a part of. And it, I don't know, if you were here in church and you were listening, it was sometimes a little bit hard to hear because you had to analyze potentially some of the out of balance areas in our lives. I know it wasn't his heart to make us feel bad about it, but it was to give us guidance towards a fruitful 2020. He spoke on five areas for growth, and you can go back and listen to the podcast from last week. He spoke about time, about money, about work, about relationships, and what was the last one? Does anyone remember? Sorry?
Family.
Family. Yes, family was the last one. Very good. And as I was thinking about those things during the week, this week, and just thinking about my own life, in truth, some of these major areas of our lives, some of these major decisions that we have to make can often cause quite a heavy weight on us. They sit on us quite heavily. Do you sometimes feel heavy about life, about what we're going through? Some of these big areas of our life, our circumstances become heavy, or the weight of these decisions become heavy on us. And Chris gave us truth about how to really attack each of these areas of our lives and how to put them in godly order in our lives. But the question I have is, what do we do with the weight? What do we do with the weight that comes upon us? Dion, your word was so perfect for this morning. This scripture, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me. Thanks, Josh. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That means follow me. Be my disciple. For I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the only answer to a heavy life is to continually, not just once or twice, but continually allow the ultimate weightlifter, Jesus, to share that load. Because what happens if you try to carry, have you ever tried to carry a heavy weight in your arms for a long time? What happens? We get tired, we get fatigued, and eventually we either put it down or we just end up dropping that weight. And the last thing we want to do in life is end up dropping that weight. Before we were forced to all be eco-friendly at the shopping center, there was things called plastic bags. You know, plastic bags at the shops. Being a Woolworths guy myself, working there, I don't always shop there, but I went in there this morning though. I was going to tell you, but I'm not, because it was a bad story for Woolworths. Anyway, moving on. So you go to the shops, and if you're a big shopper, you'd sometimes come home with what, 15, 20 bags of shopping in your boot? Is that too big? I don't know. Is that good? Is that a good size? Is not enough? Not enough. Seven bags. That's it, just seven bags. Seven. Oh, very good. Good number. So, well, let's say you did a big shop, 15, 20 bags, and you get them out of the boot. You get home, put the boot up, and this is the thought process I'm sure that goes through some people's mind. All right, I've got 20 bags of shopping. If I get two or three of those, that's like maybe six, seven, eight trips from the car to the house. Or if you're like me, I'm like, all right, one, two, three, four, five, six. I'm only taking one trip. There's one trip from the car to my bench inside, no matter how many bags I have to put on each hand, right? And so you're loading up seven or eight bags in each hand. And here's the thing. It's easier to drag them out of the car and to have them holding there. But what happens as we walk inside? We start to get the shuffle inside a bit faster because they're starting to cut through our fingers, right? We're starting to lose the end of our fingers. We've got no feeling anymore. And the thing is, when you get inside with that weight, if you make it inside without dropping them, with that weight, although it's been okay to carry them to that point, have you ever tried to put them on the bench at that point? Like, yeah? Like, come on. That's where the weightlifting sort of comes in handy, because you're lifting 20 bottles of milk onto your countertop at home. Quite tough. Yeah? Has anybody done that before? Is it just me? Nah, you've done that? Good. Because it is too hard to go back to the car for another one bag, isn't it? There ain't no way. That bag can sit in the car until tomorrow and I come back. The same can kind of be said when we talk about the weight, when it comes to these big decisions and some of the big things in our own life. We can sometimes pick them up quite easily, but it's as we continue to carry them under our own strength that we struggle. We get tired, we fatigue, and we can potentially end up dropping them. And it comes back to the word that Jesus used in verse 28. Of that last verse that we read. He says the word weary. Weary. And when we think of being weary, obviously we think of being tired. We think of being exhausted after many, many times of even weary is almost beyond tired, isn't it? It's just continual tiredness is weary. And I looked at this, I Greeked this word. And the word that Jesus actually used was the word kopi-a-o. Everyone say kopi. Kopi-a-o. Kopi-a-o. And the extended version of this word means like we would think. And I was like, oh, well, that's what I thought. It means to grow weary, tired, and exhausted. But it went on and it said, what from? And I thought this was really interesting. We get weary, tired, and exhausted with toil or burdens or grief. Jesus uses a word that specifically referred to these three areas that as a result of, we can find ourselves weary. These are things we experience, and these are the things that he's asking for us to come to him with. Toil, things that we're putting our hands to, things that we are doing with our own hands. Burdens, things that have come upon us. Sometimes we bring them upon ourselves, but sometimes burdens are put on us that are out of our control, that we have to carry. And grief, the intense emotional weight we feel when someone close to us passes away. Personally, we've experienced grief in our own family this year, and I know the whole family would say that in some way they've experienced this weariness that comes from this hard moment, these hard moments. It is really tiring to continue to go through it emotionally. And it's important that we deal with grief before it overcomes us. And though this message is not on grief alone, the first step when it comes to dealing with grief is the instruction that Jesus himself gives us. Jesus knew what we'd be dealing with. He specifically said it when he said, come to me. Come to me, you who are weary. He knew he was the only one who could provide the comfort and reassurance we needed to be able to move on. And so what do we do with that weight that creates this weariness in us? We take it to him. And like so many other things, it's not a one-time action, but it's a daily choice to continue to come before God with hands open, saying, Jesus, I cannot do this on my own. Jesus, I need you. Have your way in me. And he is faithful to come and to give us rest in that moment. And it's this rest, this refreshing is what I want to talk to us today about. So part of freshness is, like we've talked about, being able to shed the load, is to be able to put it down. Maybe pick up something a bit lighter, or maybe put down a few of those heavy things. Because when we are overloaded, when we are too hard, if you've ever seen a car or something that is so heavy laden, it just sits there. It's so hard to get that thing moving. It is almost stuck in the ground. We can get that way as well, right? When we've become so heavy with the things that we've put on, we just feel stuck, man. We are stuck because this is so heavy. We can't even move an inch forward. But it's exciting to talk about something fresh or something new, and the Bible does speak a lot about the new. And new is awesome. And the beginning of this new year might be exactly that for you, new. But for a lot of us, in a practical sense, new is not exactly an option for us. And I wrote this next line, and then I reread it later and said, that doesn't sound right. But I'm going to read it to you anyway. We feel like we're stuck, you know, and I wrote this. I said, we're stuck with the same family. And I meant that in, like, for us, I mean, we're great. I love my family, so we're not stuck. But, you know what I mean? Just clarify, asterisk, we're good. We're good. But you know what I mean. Like, sometimes you have relationships in your extended family or your immediate family that are a bit strained, and you feel like you're stuck. Man, it's my family. It's my family. Or you feel like you're stuck with the same job, in the same house, with the same problems as before. And it's all good to say that I want something new, but sometimes we're stuck with those things. And the world, unfortunately, would say, if you want something new, just discard the old and go and buy something new. But that's not what the Word of God says with regard to these big things in our lives. We don't just go out and get something new. And for us who, yeah, again, stuck is probably the wrong word, but feel like what we've got, we can't change it. We can't give ourselves a new whatever it is. It's not about something fresh. It's about being refreshed with what we have. Refreshed. And the Bible talks a lot about being refreshed as well. Dion, you said that in that word as well, being refreshed. So let's look at a couple of scriptures here. We've got Isaiah 40, verse 31 for a start. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And notice it's renew your strength. It's not give you it from new. It's to renew your strength. Jeremiah 31 and 25 says, for I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water out on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. The prophet Isaiah here is talking about the helper, the Holy Spirit. And that's it. The Holy Spirit, he is the one who provides the refreshing we need. God knows about tiredness. He knows about weariness. But his promise is that we will be refreshed. There is rest for the weary through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The promises are great. And it's great to hear. It's great to know the promises. But it's a whole other thing to be able to walk in that and to be able to put that into practice. And Sky, if you can bring that stuff up for me. I've got a little illustration here with this pitcher. Is this a pitcher? Would you call it a pitcher or a jug? Yeah, it's a jug, I think. Thank you. So this, let me just make sure I'm getting to this right. Yeah, good. So this celery, does anyone like celery? Yeah, I don't know. Anyone like this celery? Nah. So this will be good for my chickens. This celery we bought earlier in the week, and I was hoping that it would be even more droopy than this by now. But for some reason, this particular celery sat on our bench and didn't do what it was supposed to do. So anyway, it's gone a bit ratty, but it's also a bit sloppy. Like, it's just a bit droopy, right? Droopy celery. And again, if you've been around for a little while, you'll know I've spoken about my history as a produce manager at Woolworths, and we used to look after all the fruit and veg. And one of the tricks of the trade, I don't know if this is something that everyone does or if this is something cracking coconuts. That's a, well, know how, you know how to crack a coconut? Has anyone tried to open a coconut? Do you know how to do it? You guys would know how to do it. Has anyone else tried? Would you like to know how to do it? Nah, no one cares. Okay. I'll tell you another day. No, you don't smash it. That's not the way to do it. Anyway, so one of the things with celery, again, you might not know this or not, but when celery goes droopy, when celery sat on the shelf all day and it went droopy, all we would do, because we want to maintain our profit margin, is we'd take it out the back at the end of the night, we'd trim a little bit off the end, we'd chuck it in a sink of water, and the next day put it back on the shelf. And it was beautiful. It's the way to refresh celeries. If you've got anything at home that is a leafy vegetable, trim a little bit off the bottom, put it in a bit of water, and come back in the morning and eat that fresh thing, because it's going to be back to normal. Am I blowing your mind or what? Or did you all already know that? Oh, you knew that? Okay, well, you didn't know that? Levi didn't know that. Well, there you go, Levi. That's why you came to church this morning. Good. So the important part is about this. I'll actually do it. And with celery, I mean, we don't ever eat the base of the celery, do we? Does anyone do it? No. Chickens. Simply cut the end off your celery, plonk it in your water. See, look at that. It doesn't look appealing, right? If you were to come back tonight for church, which we don't have a service, by the way. If you were to come back at the PM service, by 6 o'clock tonight, this would be fresh and ready to go for you to eat. Now, I know it's a bit yellow, so just don't eat those bits. But it would take up the water and it would be refreshed. Leave it overnight is even better. Leave it overnight. And that's a really important point, that it needs to be left overnight for this to happen. And that's great. But sometimes I think when we come to trying to be refreshed in the presence of God, we often think that, you know, a quick dunk is going to do the trick for us. Maybe like, oh, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling weary, so I'll go to church. We go to church, great, and now I'm good. Or, you know, I'm really feeling it at home at the moment, and maybe I've made some bad choices, whatever. I need to listen to some worship music, and we quick dunk, and then we come back out. But the whole point is for this to stay in the water so that it can be refreshed. The refreshing, you know, the dipping in, I feel it. That was a nice quick dunk and now I'm out. But what does that actually do for the celery right here? What does it actually do for us to just have a quick dunk in the water? The important part is that we leave it sitting there overnight for time. The amount of time is the one that matters. See, I think this is really cool because the water, although the water is the one, again, the Holy Spirit, the water is the one that does the work, the water is the one that makes it refreshed, it is the time in the water that actually brings it back and actually refreshes it and brings it back to life. And the time that we spend with the Holy Spirit, the time that we spend being washed by the Word, the time that we spend in the presence of God is what impacts us and refreshes us continually to go about our day-to-day lives doing what we need to do with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. And this is the 2020 I'm looking for. This is what I'm getting ready for this year, is to be continually soaking in the Holy Spirit, to continually be allowing him to refresh me in the different things that that God has for me this year. And I hope that's for you as well. You know, we're preparing to lead into March fast again this year. March, if you haven't been around in the last few years, we spend March fasting something and spending that time really digging into God and seeing what he has for us, and praying about different things that are going on. And I would really encourage you, even now, to be gearing up for that time. But you know, it doesn't need to start in March. the soaking that we can have in the presence of God doesn't need to wait until we have that special time where we fast in March. This can be today. This can be tomorrow. This can be now for us as a church and as individuals. Why not tomorrow? Why not today? If the band wants to come up, we're gonna finish by singing, and we're just going to have a few moments for us to reflect again on, I suppose, what God is saying to us about 2020. I deliberately didn't want us to be too long today. I want to give the opportunity for whoever needs it to respond to God's call on your life. And as you sit here today, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know your background, but God does. God does. He knows what you've been struggling with. He knows you from the top to the bottom. And that could be you if you're sitting here for the first time in church, or that could be you even if you've been sitting here for 20 years in church. And there's something going on that nobody knows. It's never been shared. But God knows. God wants to see you refreshed. God wants to see the power of that broken in your life. And He can. And He will if we bring it to Him. Come to me. Come to me. And see, the biggest blockage in our life to the Holy Spirit having His way, the blockage for that is sin, where we've simply been living for ourselves. But the Bible tells us, even when we were in that state, God the Father sent His Son Jesus to conquer that sin and death in our life. Let that never be old. Like Mark said, you know, let us never get to the point that we are not wowed by what Jesus has done for us, by the love of the Father to send His one and only Son for us. And as He died on the cross, He broke that power of sin over our life. In Acts 3, 19 to 20, it says this: "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord as we repent and as we turn away from our sin. And so, as the band starts to play, let's just close our eyes this morning. Good opportunity to respond. And I just really want to give you the opportunity, if you're sitting here today and you need to make a commitment for the first time to say, "Jesus, I've been trying, but I can't do this on my own, in my own strength. I need you." If that's you today, I'm going to ask you in a second to pop your hand up. I'm going to pray. Well, maybe today you're here. And again, I don't know why you're here at church in the first Sunday of 2020. Perhaps you need to rededicate your life to God. Maybe you've done it before. Maybe you've walked away. Or maybe there's a blockage in an area of your life that you need to give over to God. Maybe you've tried before. Maybe you've sat in a service similar to this and said, "God, I just don't know how to do it. This is so big in my life." Why not today? So if you're here, I'm simply going to pray. If you're here today and you want to make that commitment to make Jesus the Lord of your life, why don't you just raise your hand all across this place if you're here and you want to do that. Awesome. Amazing. see that. It's great. You can put your hand down. And if you're here this morning and you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, perhaps you've been living your own way. Perhaps you're feeling weary and tired because of that. And you need to give it all back over to God. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you this morning. If you just raise your hand quickly, we're going to pray for you today. Is that you? I see the hand. I see those hands. Yeah, awesome. 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 Thank you, Father. Come on, church, let's pray. Father God, we don't go any further without thanking you and praising you for that great gift you gave us with your Son to come and forgive us of the sin that we've committed and bring us back into relationship with you. We just thank you and praise you so much for your amazing love for us. And Father, I just pray for those people who have raised their hand this morning that have perhaps highlighted that right now in 2020, I need to give my life back over to you. I need to start putting you first in whatever area of our life. Father, I pray that they would know right now that you are continuing to do that mighty work that you began in their lives. And Father, as the obstacles come, which we know they will, that you would give them the strength to continue to rely on you and trust in you, Holy Spirit, for your truth about them and about their walk with you. So, Father, we just thank you today. We look forward to what you are going to do in us and through us this year. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's remember that verse in Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll wait for him. Come on, let's stand and let's sing as we go out for this first service of 2020.
I wrote this during a Sunday service in September last year, actually. But this morning, I feel that it's the time to share it. It's called New Shoes. Put on your new pair of shoes. Take off the old, tired, worn-out shoes of your old journey. You don't need them anymore. You're on a new journey now with me, your lover, your God, your Saviour. Do you hear that, child? Your Saviour. You are saved. Believe that. You have new shoes now. Whole, clean shoes with no tatters or worn soles. So don't leave them sitting by the door, gathering dust. Put them on and go out. Go out, enjoy, my child, in freedom and run. And I wanted to read out, say, Isaiah 40, 31 again. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
As Andy was speaking, and I really enjoyed what he said, Andy, God put a word on my heart, and I thought, oh, I won't bring it. Linda did it, so I won't do it. But it's a scripture about those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. You know, when Andy put that salary in the water and said it's got to stay there, I think that's such an important part. It's got to stay there. You've got to keep on keeping on. You've got to keep on persevering. There was a time in my life when I was incredibly tired, and I'd fall asleep everywhere and anywhere. I thought there was something wrong with me, and that scripture came into my head, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so I thought, oh, I can do that. That will give me new strength. And I said, so God, how do I do it? And he said, I want you to get up early in the morning and wait on me. And I thought, that's counterproductive because I'm just going to be more tired. And what I felt so strongly here as we were seeing, there's some people that you're stuck, as Andy said, you are stuck. You need to get fresh. And you've been trying to do it the same old way. And I believe that God is saying you today, exactly as he said to me, do what is counter to what you think. do the counter to what you think. Now, there's somebody here, or there's a number of people here, and you've been doing it, and you've been doing it, and nothing's happening. And God's saying, do the counter. Do the counter. Do what is different. Listen and seek God. You know, those who wait upon God, those who seek His face, He'll speak to you. Do the counter. That's the key. Do the counter. Do the counter. Do the opposite to what you've been doing.
I also got a word, and I wasn't going to share it as well, but then I felt like I should. All morning I've been having this word, self-sustaining, just come over and over. And I think what God is saying is that we don't need to be self-sustaining. That, and even Andy said it with the plastic bags, in the world today there's this push for everything to be self-sustaining, for us not to have waste and just to keep going and to... for everything to be able to feed into itself and create this cycle. But we don't need to be self-sustaining because we have Jesus. He sustains us. And I just felt, looking into what God's been teaching me in 2019, and I think I've always tried so hard to be self-sustaining, that that's what God's speaking to me, and it's already happening. It's only day 5 of 2020, but God is already speaking, and God already has fresh things for us this year.